Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, Pastor David here with Pastor Bob Wilk.
Howdy there.
Today we decided to do a shortened podcast where we just played Bible roulette. Pastor Bob spun through his Bible app and he came right to Jeremiah 23, which ironically, quote unquote, coincidentally, I just taught on this morning. So we felt like maybe there's something in this.
Either we got really lucky or really unlucky, depending on how you look at this. I can't believe you would teach on this.
Considering the chapter, maybe it was unlucky.
It was pretty unlucky. It's a little bit of a brutal chapter.
Yes.
But I believe also that it could help people choose a shepherd wisely.
Oh.
Yeah?
Can people choose their shepherds?
Yes. In some ways, yes. Mm. I think a shepherd is chosen for you, but you have to be able to recognize your shepherd and actually recognize if they're a true shepherd or not. And I think a lot of people may get enamored with a personality and not a shepherd. And so that's a really important thing. And we're not against pastors. They called us pastors. Somebody had that idea. I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of laughing here and joking a bit because we're about to get into a serious chapter.
We got to put a little bit of anesthesia on it before the word goes in.
This isn't going to go down easy. No. But the word of the Lord starts with the woe word, which is rough.
Yeah. What's that mean?
Whoa. Whoa, Nelly. Stop me.
Whoa, Nelly. Stop what you're doing
It could mean a whoa, like stop, but it could also, you know, in some respects could be a listen up, you know.
Yeah.
Pay attention, those kind of things.
It's an invocation of doom.
Yes.
It's like the opposite of blessing, right? It's like you're basically a curse is on you. Whoa.
Yeah.
So that's what it means. In Revelation, there's the woes, right?
The woes, the
threefold woe to the earth.
Yeah. And so it's interesting, and I'll read it out of the New King James.
Go
but
for
it says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. You know, I'm going to stop right there because that's a pretty...
We probably need to chew on that.
That's a lot there because to me, that speaks of intentionality. It's not like an accident, like these people just fell into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they allowed themselves to get led into some kind of weird deception.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously... These scriptures, I mean, yes, they had something. Somebody was speaking this at this moment, Jeremiah, two shepherds in Israel at that time, and two, pastors or whatever you want to call them, the leaders. Let's just say leaders. Okay, but then again, it went through all of the ages into when Jesus arrived, and there were blind shepherds there, leading the blind.
Yeah.
And once again, there Jesus, loving Jesus is like, he's worse than the woe shepherds. He's like, you're like whited sepulchres.
I know.
Filled with dead men's bones.
He took it to the next level, right? Matthew 23. Uh-huh, he's like, woe to you. You do all this. Like you have this form of religion, but you're really out for yourself.
Yeah. You know, Jeremiah 23 to Matthew 23. There's something about the numerics in all this. Somebody
up
there was figuring this out long before you and me, I guess.
Yeah. So this is, it starts off when he says destroy and scatter. Like you said, there is an intentionality. And he says, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You can almost hear the sarcasm in it. Who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord.
I don't think that attending is a good attending when it comes from the Lord. You know, apparently God's fairly sarcastic. just saying.
I think so.
Like I said, we'll our normal selves is to laugh some with this, and because it's can't be all like the blade, although it's a lot of the blade here. Yes. But there's a reality here is that God, he's not mocked, he's not fooled, and he deals with stuff.
Yeah,
and he's calling these people out. And Jeremiah, the one thing about when you start calling people out, you could end up in a pit.
That's where he spent most of his time, if you read Jeremiah.
Yeah, just like, bury that guy. Okay, let's bury that guy.
You know, there's one part I read today where he goes, the king Zedekiah goes, why do you prophesy that the city is going to be given in the hands of the king of Babylon? And he was surrounded by the army of the king of Babylon.
Right.
It's like, it's going to happen.
It's like, I see nothing.
That's why.
Guys out here doing this. Man,
he's trying to warn him.
Poor Jeremiah. You know, he dealt with so many things. Like in the scriptures, like you say, you know, God's like, you know, they're not going to accept this word, but you have to go give it. It's like,
I know.
Why? Like, I'd be asking why.
Perhaps. I just read a sentence like that. He's like, they won't accept this, but it may be.
Right.
That they'll turn from their wicked ways.
Yeah.
So you got to deal with statements like that.
So you're saying that God's the eternal optimist.
Well, I mean, his heart doesn't want to punish, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, he does. You know, that's the deal with him, huh? He doesn't, you know, he really doesn't want to punish. No. He really wants to call. And even in these scriptures here, there's a rebuke to shepherds. But really, there's a components of this where he's actually calling the shepherds too, wanting them to turn, and when you actually think about it, as well as the people to understand when there is a wicked shepherd that not to follow them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because like his heart is like he wants his people to follow him.
Yeah, I was going to ask you earlier when you said like it's intentional that they destroy and scatter sheep. How would one do that? Like, just put it in the modern day.
Oh,
like, how does that happen?
That's a little.
You can put it hypothetical.
It's a little brutal now because what happens now is I believe there's shepherds that is the right word bilk. they fleece the sheep.
That's okay. The right word.
yeah. They take advantage. They take from them, but don't give to them. Mm-hmm. Right. They look as though the sheep are there to serve the shepherd rather than the shepherd to serve the sheep.
Yeah,
and that's intentional. So you know, and it's a rough thing, right? Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, and we see all the time. Like I said, this is kind of a serious subject, but we're joking around a little. But it is serious because people are fooled by shepherds that don't have a true heart.
Yeah.
And that's the whole deal. And I you know, going on with these scriptures, you know, therefore thus says the Lord of Israel, you know, against the shepherds who feed my people, that's another interesting thing there. They're supposed to be ones feeding the people. And then and it goes on and it says, feed my people, and you have scattered my flock and driven them away, intentionality again, and not attended to them. Like you read that, and I was like, oh, yeah. And yeah, I'm going to attend to you. Like, hey, come over here, and let me give you the back end, you know?
Yeah.
But the reality is that wasn't accidental. None of that's an accident. So he's not going, oh, I know, you were just a little misguided, and, you know, you got kind of caught up.
Yeah.
It's like, no, somewhere along the line here, some bad stuff went down.
Well, I mean, there's that the tactic. Obviously, it says in Zechariah, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And sometimes that's a good thing.
Yes.
And here it's sometimes you're like, oh, Satan took down that guy.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was Satan. Maybe God let the consequences of his actions or her actions catch up to her. The sheep can be scattered and they can be regathered by a true shepherd because before they were being fleeced. And right in this situation, the Lord is the one that strikes the shepherd. So we have to just take a full-orbed view of the Bible's teaching on this. You know, it's maybe every time a man of God, quote-unquote, goes down, that could be good. We're saying hard stuff, but this is from the Word of God.
Well, we have the to other thing, too, stuff. Is we don't want to just point at a man or a woman of God and, like, it's all on them. Because the next scripture actually starts to speak in some very subtle ways about the people of God. And when you think about it, and I'll read that, it says, but I will gather the remnant of my flock. So there's a gathering that God's planning on doing, and he is.
Yes.
He's actually in the middle of it now. Out of all countries where I've driven them. Well, who drove them?
Yeah.
Right? So God,
the Lord,
God will actually use even evil shepherds, right? Or evil countries like he did, like you were saying earlier, Babylon, to drive his people, to bring them into other places because their hearts So we can, like I said, you start off with this thing about shepherds, which is, you know, we want to focus on that also, but let's not forget to focus on ourselves too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We become those people who God is like, well, I'm going to drive them and scatter them. Mm-hmm. Like he did that.
Yeah.
Like that was his heart because, you know, I mean, and it goes back to the beginning when they wanted a king and he wasn't a good enough king for them, no. apparently. So,
yeah,
there's a lot going on there. Gosh, and it says that, and my flock out of all countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their folds, then they shall be fruitful and increase. So there's a promise. It's a great promise, mm-hmm. actually, that there's a returning, ingathering after the scattering out. Mm-hmm. And then it says, and then this is the great part. And this is where you have to really be able to identify, right? Like mm-hmm. people, like, you know, because it's easy to go, most Christians, I would say, at some point in time, be like, oh, my pastor, they don't do this right. They don't, you know, if people are honest, people are pretty judgmental of a lot of things.
Yeah, pretty critical.
Pretty critical. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, you have to fight it.
That's a demon, by the way.
It is.
When you partner with that and you go, oh, I'm going to critique every single thing my pastor said, every single thing they wore, every single thing they...
Right, because apparently pastors are human.
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently. I thought they were human, but, you know, I mean, sometimes we want to make them either an idol.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Is that felt?
Did you just,
it is now.
Did you notice you went right through me when you went that?
Yeah, I was a ghost.
Yes, I'm the ghost. It says, and I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, mm-hmm. and they shall fear no more. What? So there's a fearing that goes on when you have either A, shepherds who are in it for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Or you've been scattered to a land by God himself. That's a lot of heavy stuff going on here.
Yeah. Why do you think, where do you think
you
the fear?
You should do another Bible roulette and find a nice...
I know, that would be good to do.
Yes.
Where does the fear come from? Just like that, you know, people don't sense that there's someone to look to or someone that can help them or pray for them. Or
yeah, I think that they feel exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they're
uncovered.
Uncovered. Because mm-hmm. see, that's the deal with shepherds, right? They're supposed to be a caring and a covering mm-hmm. for sheep.
Watch for the wolves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so when that's gone, and the rest of the scripture, like I said, that I'll set up shepherds over them who will feed them, they shall fear no more. And there's a lot of people running around in fear, by the way, that actually when they've been hurt by either a shepherd or like we did a whole thing on church hurt, it's sad what happens to them because there's a fear that comes in. Like mm-hmm. The fear drives them from connecting to a church, to a pastor, to... And then it says, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. And that's a whole, so God's going to supply in this thing that he is, he says, I will set up shepherds over them.
Yep.
So there's a, what's that?
God's appointment.
It's great, isn't it? Like he's making a promise. I mean, we have to look at this as one of the promises of God, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so we can look at like the bad side of it. Like we started off with the shepherds. But then there's like God's promise.
How do we know who God has set over us as shepherds? How do we identify a true shepherd?
Well, I would say personally, they have to care for your soul. Well, I have like a 4-prong thing that I use to judge. Okay. I'm the judge.
You are.
Yes. It's, you know, we do this in, you know, we teach this actually in our school, you know, that if they're not doing something illegal, immoral, unethical, or against, straight up against God's word, mm-hmm. then, you know, if it's not one of those things, and then you're still judging the person, you know, you might be judging yourself in that process.
You might be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if a shepherd doesn't have any of that going on and they're trying to just walk with God, they might not be the best speaker. They might not be the greatest singer. They might not entertain you so much, but they have truth.
If you can see everything they're doing wrong, maybe you should shepherd them. Care for them.
You're a kid.
Help them. Because some of the sheep are meant to become shepherds, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's like That's critical. I like how it says that. I mean,
I'm laughing at that because a lot of people will just do that. Let me fix the shepherd.
I didn't say fix. I said pray for them, love them, maybe support them in a real way.
No. They go into fixing.
That's not the same thing, just we all understand.
Make that clear. Yeah.
Or, well, I don't know. If someone can fix me, I welcome that. You know, I'd like to be fixed. So, well, not, you know.
Yes.
Not in an animal way, but, you know, I'd like to be fixed. In an emotional way. If somebody has a fix for me, you know, come to me with that.
Well, do you want to read some more of this?
I would love to, yeah. So it says, neither shall there be any missing, declares the Lord, which is interesting. That I mean, a real shepherd cares that everybody comes along. You know, they're not just like trying to achieve goals necessarily or events. I think it's like they really want everybody to come into the fullness of Christ.
Yeah.
And to be deployed into the world, you know, like to actually be the person that they're created to be. And that might take a little longer. It might not be agenda driven. It might not be timetable driven. I didn't say there's no direction, right? The shepherd is leading the flock and giving direction, but they care that everybody comes into it, you know? And whereas these guys fleecing the sheep are probably like, well, whoever's giving me money or whoever's like supporting my political party or my religious faction, that's my sheep, you know, but they left out so many that needed to be cared for.
Yeah. They're driven by selfish motives, is what you're saying, which is completely the opposite of the good shepherd, Jesus, right? Yeah. Which I think he's about to speak about that guy 1,000 years ahead of time. You know, it's like he's about to talk about this good shepherd prophetically into the future, which is crazy. Go ahead and read
this. This is why you know Jeremiah is a good shepherd, because he gives the bad news, then he gives a promise, and then he gives how we're going to get to the promise is through Messiah, through Christ. He's actually going to preach Christ by the Holy Spirit.
I love
it. And he goes, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Another thing in Jeremiah, he always says this, the days are coming. The days are coming. The days are coming. He's always giving hope to the people, even when they're in the midst of suffering. He goes, behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. What's a beautiful promise.
Wow, there's too much there.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord is our righteousness. Like that's that's the deal with the great shepherd, because obviously he's talking about, you know, David and his anointed branch as everlasting kingdom and things that were promised to David, but also speaking forward into Jesus. But here he is, the Lord our righteousness. Like he's, in other words, he's making us righteous, which is such a great. Now, check this out. What a wonderful shepherd that will bring you into righteousness.
Wow.
Like they're not selfishly motivated. It's not like, see, you know, he didn't come to the earth and like, you know, I'm righteous. The rest of you, the rest of you dogs don't have a chance. You're done. Yeah. You know, at best you'll be okay. And he's like, no, I've become the Lord. You know, our righteousness.
Well, he's not tolerating shady means either. Like he's ruling with justice. He's ruling with righteousness. Yeah. It's not like I saw this clip, which was obviously just a joke, but someone was making fun of like the mega church pastor that has like the mafia contact that's going to go break people's kneecaps to make sure they get the right church building. You know,
I love you.
I forget what the guy's name was, but it's like, the Lord is our righteousness. He's calling us to righteousness, not just to whatever is going to get the job done. Like he's just calling us to be like him, to be like the shepherd.
Yes.
You know, that would be true righteousness, to be like God, God-likeness is justice and righteousness.
Why not? Like, why not? Right. I mean, no, but isn't that a great shepherd?
Yeah.
Like just so like he wants to bring us into that place with him.
Yeah.
Like there's so much there. There's so much being promised.
That would mean he'd have to feed you with the word of God. He'd have to, he or she would have to really warn you, maybe rebuke you. Maybe discipline.
I don't know about you, but I need that.
I need it.
Yeah.
So much. Yeah. And, that's part of the teaching element, right? Like that you're actually teaching them the way of righteousness.
Yes.
And that would be the person, Jesus, right? So that's like preaching Christ, preaching the one that is righteous, is a key part, a way to feed the sheep. When the Lord called me to be a pastor, I was like 24, and he came to me in a vision. He's like, feed my sheep. Mm. And it was just like super simple. I think it could apply it to a lot of different callings, but mm-hmm. I always take that really seriously, that I'm like, I have to feed them the word of God in the person of Jesus, this branch that he's talking mm-hmm. about, because that's the over shepherd. That's the true one that's leading us where we need to go. Yeah. So if I'm giving them the great shepherd, then I'm being a good under shepherd.
Yeah.
If I'm preaching something else, it's not going to reproduce Christ. It's going to reproduce whatever I'm preaching.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm preaching whatever, I need to come back to what the Bible's preaching about, which is this branch, you know?
Yeah. You know, when we talk about shepherds, it's such a great thing about shepherds, especially biblical shepherds. So many of, I'm going to say most of them, maybe all of them, they are deliverers.
Mm.
Like they are people that rescue
Moses
your life out of, Moses and David.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
shepherd boy.
Shepherd guy, you know, but they delivered, right? They rescued. It's such a greatness. The last part of this section, because this is a big, this is a big script. I mean, the chapter's long, but also involved. And
it gets bad again.
It gets bad again. And they're going to talk about prophets, which I prefer not to get the old 1-2 today. You know,
we'll cover the lying prophets next.
Yes. But it says, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land.
Hmm.
Man, he's expanding. Well, you know, he's going past Israel now in some ways, and now he's expanding it to like a whole lot of other people. So here's these prophets of the Old Testament talking about the ingathering of the Gentiles and just subtly, you know, I can't imagine him saying this back then and the people going, huh? Like, what are you talking about? Why?
Yeah.
And then, but also once again, God says that he scattered like, and then he, you know, he talks about it from, you know, who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, where, you know, with their, Egypt's a hard place, right? That's that deliverance thing again.
Yeah.
Brought them out with a strong hand that they couldn't get themselves out of.
No.
Like there was no way to deliver themselves, and yet God brought them out. And then expanding that to everybody else on the planet.
Yeah.
Like none of us could get ourselves out of that. Like only him. All. Only him.
That sheep shepherd that has a broken leg and he's in quicksand is not getting himself out.
Mm-mm.
He needs a shepherd that's going to leave the 99 and find him and care about him enough.
Yes.
Not just to pull him out, but then to fix him up and clean him up and get him back in the middle of the herd.
Wow.
And I was just thinking too about the scattering, that there's an evil scattering where you're dividing people. You know, the word heretic actually means divider,
mm-hmm.
right? So I just want to put that out there, right? But that's just a little freebie, whatever.
Mm.
But there's the evil, like Satan comes to divide the flock and scatter them like a lion. But actually, God can use that.
Yeah.
And he's scattering them like seed, you know? Yeah. And so they're actually being sown into the nations, just like he did scatter Israel into Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And there they reproduced abundantly and they became a mighty nation. Now, through that exile, they were actually scattered into Babylon. In chapter 29 of Jeremiah, he says, you know, plant gardens, build houses, seek the welfare of the city.
Right.
They're actually salt and light in those evil cities.
Increase there.
And we've been scattered, obviously, mm-hmm. as the followers of Jesus, to be seed. We're not scattered in this way of like, oh, what am I going to do? I'm just waiting till I get rescued. It's like, well, no, I am, but I'm also going to plant. I'm going to do something here.
Yeah.
So I think that's important too, is like to speak to people where they have been scattered mm-hmm. and say like there still is a shepherd and there still is fruitfulness where you've been scattered, you can be planted.
Absolutely.
You know, I think is an important thing to.
Well, the word, I think it speaks to that in so many ways. You know, Paul talking about, I apprehend that which I was apprehended for. There's a lot of, you know, things like you say there, the blooming where you're planted things. These are just awesome. They're not just concepts. They're promises from God. Like, that's what he wants of us. We're not just like in a holding pattern. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get by and see how it works out. But mm-hmm. with all this, I think we'll probably end here, but yeah, I just, it's a good time to end, but I know this is kind of a heavy chapter. Mm-hmm. And so, but I think it's important for people to identify good shepherds in their life. Mm-hmm. And it can be more than just their pastor, by the way, but those are shepherds that will tend to you, care for your life, raise your life up out of the pit, mm-hmm. Speak truth to you, you know, without being afraid to, you know, upset you, but just actually truth in love. And, but think about that, because God didn't promise a perfect shepherd, but he does want us to have good shepherds.
Yeah.
So think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, what's my takeaway from this, you know?
Oh yeah. What is yours?
And, obviously it's a strong warning. So I take that away that, mm-hmm. you know, there's woe on those that would take advantage of God's flock. You know, he is looking over that and seeing the times that we become selfish and we make it about us. But really, like, there was, yeah, we're not perfect shepherds, but we do look to Jesus, the good shepherd. And I'm just thinking, how did he shepherd?
Yeah.
You know, and what he was willing to get dirty, he was willing to get down with the sheep, he was willing to pull them out, to lay down his life. You know, he probably had to get a little dirty to do that.
Yeah,
he probably had to get a little bloody to do that.
Yeah,
he probably had to get pretty frustrated to do it. We know he did, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to have to look like for us to do a good job as pastors. And I'm just Absolutely. we are both pastors, and so we even more than people we're trying to lead, we're like, we have to be imitating the good shepherd.
Absolutely.
Which is so difficult. I'm just like, God, just like, help me do this. Help me be found faithful in this, because it's, mm-hmm. I want him to say, you were a shepherd after my own heart.
Right.
You did feed the people, even if it was a little flock, you know, and maybe that's for you. Like, you just have a family, or you have a little church, you have something, and you think, like, people are talking to you like Eliab talked to David, and they go, oh, with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Mm. Oh, there's only a few of them. But that's not your business. Like, your business is to care for them, feed them the word, feed them Jesus, show them Jesus, mm-hmm. form them in the image of Jesus. And you never know what fruit is going to come from that. You never know what those few sheep are going to do. Like, you never know what God's going to do through that, but he's going to reward your faithfulness and your perseverance, right? And so I just want to encourage the true shepherds, the ones that say, I just want the people to be like Jesus. I just want them to know God. I just want to help them. You know, whatever it is they need, I want to give my life for them. Their life is more important than my life. I just want to say, good job. Keep at it. You're doing what you're called Absolutely. To do. You're doing what you're called to do. Don't let anybody say it's not good enough. Let the Lord be your judge in that. You know, and I don't know if that resonates with
it
you.
It does with
well,
me,
you know,
very much. And I want to say, I've known several very good shepherds in my lifetime. And it's been an honor to walk with some of them and just to be in, you know, in relationship with them. And they were people who, you know, just like us, just regular people that God put into that position. That was God's choosing, not the hand of man. But they also accepted that place, and they care for God's flock, and they care for God's people. And so I think it's a great takeaway for the pastors or shepherds that are listening to this, and for the sheep that are listening to this, which we all are sheep of his pasture, that we not be the kind of people, bring ourselves to the place where we would be scattered by him, that we just keep ourselves close to our good shepherd in heaven. And so with that, we'll leave it today, and pray that this somehow has maybe ministered to you. Go away and read Jeremiah. Mm. Find yourself a nice, warm little place, and just snuggle up to that.
Throw yourself down a well and read this book while you're.
Yeah, maybe when you start reading it, you might want to, like, dig a big well in your backyard, throw yourself in it with the Bible.
Yeah,
and then don't come out until you finish with Jeremiah.
Yeah,
alrighty.
Listen, you can read Lamentations while you're at it too. You'll probably need that.
Well, you'll be crying at the end of it.
Comes right after it.
Yes. Well, anyway, God bless y'all, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.